This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning, welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on 89.0 independent media. Good morning, kia ora, Fred.
Top of the morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's it going?
We survived the storm.
Survived the storm, and I think there's more rain coming.
It made the news in Croatia.
Did we?
Mm. Okay. My brother phoned up. Yeah. He was worried that we were in the path of a tornado. I said, well, where we are, we might catch the tail end of it or the edge of it. So we came relatively unscathed. Other parts of the country got hammered.
It was a little bit wet, but we didn't get
nothing
the
like what no. Coromandel and Thames copped.
They copped a lot of it, didn't they?
It was, let's face it, it's like anything. If we didn't do anything, but it was a good practice for the areas that didn't get affected too much.
Did you get your emergency thing through the civil defence?
Yeah, I heard that. All I got was, your phone's going off. That's what I got.
The civil defence is the damned if they do, the damned if they don't. If they had said, don't worry about it, and something bad had happened, they would get crucified. Yeah. But because they'd said something and, lots of people,
My old mum said to me, the boy who cried wolf. So, you've got to be careful.
To be prepared in case you do rather than not be prepared in case,
There was a comment that came out from the mayor of, was it Wairoa?
Okay.
Talking about woke, about the emergency.
If
Paul Barlow, one of his postings, he talks about that.
Yeah.
And he also talks within that why there are so many conspiracy theorists on councils. And it goes back to people not voting.
You've only got a small, you only have to convince a few people and you're away,
How can he say it was woke? They wouldn't be doing their job if they hadn't warned people. Luckily, in some cases, the warning wasn't necessary because but surely it's their responsibility. It beggars belief. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. No, we, because I was a little bit concerned about Monday, so I on the Friday, I took my laptop home, and I made up my mind that I'd work from home on Monday because there was a threat. Thunderstorms.
I did the gutters in the street as much as I could. Most of the leaves are now off, and the flooding occurred the week before from the leaves in the gutters. But check my gutters and did that and tied, I noticed my daughter, even Lisa, tied some chairs down and all that so they wouldn't blow around and all that.
I just meant that the guy criticised the civil defence. If they had done nothing, what was his comment would have been then?
Absolutely.
And this happens every time.
Look at the criticism over the council and everything at the Mount about the tragedy with the landslips. So, they had emergency centres and all that. And they've learned, you learn from past things.
You do,
And if they hadn't, as I say, there was so much criticism about not doing anything at the time of the tragedy. So they've learned from it. They're learning from it.
If they had done something and nothing had happened, they would have still been criticised for wasting public resources.
Yeah.
But at least we were prepared.
Isn't it better to be prepared than not prepared?
And what's the underline? Is something, hello, it's about the environment and climate change and all that. Mm. That's all the underlying thing. These 1-in-100-year events. How many times a year do we get that?
We get 3 times a year.
That's the bottom line, and that's going to continue.
Yeah, people were warned not to go out and see. There was a photograph in yesterday's paper, someone who was windsurfing.
Yeah.
People were not in that storm.
In Whakatane, there were surfers out there because, of course, the big swells and all
But most people warned not to travel.
Which is all common sense.
Common sense,
but
of course. Yeah.
If you're putting yourself at risk is one thing, but you're putting other people
at risk as well.
Trying to pull you out.
Definitely.
Exactly.
There was not much damage around, which was a pleasing thing.
Yeah, we got actually more wind once that had gone past than it turned to the west.
I phone call with my brother. The wind just dropped.
And the
sky cleared up. Is this the eye of the storm sort of thing? Yeah. You know, thinking is it going to. But yeah.
And then it changed and
it just rained. We were relatively lucky.
Yeah. I did get a bucket of mushrooms out of it, so that was warm with it at the start.
Yeah, puffballs also doing a little bit.
Yeah, there were some puffballs, but I gave them to people I don't like. Oh, I mean, no, that's right.
Well, for one, appreciate what the civil defence does.
Of course.
Well, and all that counts.
Because when you need them, you need them.
Well, it's all the emergency services,
if you don't need them, it's a blessing.
Everything
hunky-dory, but they're there just in case.
It was the fire brigade came out the few days before because one of the, it was a blocked stormwater thing and they came out and pumped the guy's section and all that. We forget that, and that's what I've always been on about is you have fire brigades and ambulance and should be army and military. They should be our go-to for emergencies. I don't particularly want them to learn how to get in a helicopter and attack submarines. I don't really care about that. I think that's pie-in-the-sky stuff. Yeah. I actually want most of our military people to know how to drive a digger, know how to do sandbags, know how to help civilians. And they do some of that. But
like major catering, if it was a major event.
And that's great. Full marks for that's what it should be.
It should be more on civil.
And also, a credit to Marae, the Māori communities around. Mm-hmm. They always stand up. Offer accommodation and kai and
regardless
all that.
Of it.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not based on wealth
like
or anything else.
Some churches that won't serve people because they don't belong to the congregation.
Yeah, that's a bit stupid. Yeah.
So I thought basically it was a good practice is probably the wrong word, rehearsal probably they'd call it or something. Mm-hmm. And for those areas that they needed it, my son-in-law was involved in the Tauranga emergency response because he works for the city council. And they had various power outages and the tide was very, it did come up and all that.
Yeah, they were saying,
It is good for, let's face it, not just good for society, it's community. Also the people that are employed or volunteer, it's like a fire, being in the fire brigade as a volunteer, you do need to have some practices and some rehearsals to know what to do. So it's actually good for the response services to know how to handle it. When they say, there's a storm coming, they go, what did we do last time? Who was there? Because if you don't do it, it's like we run around in circles.
Yeah, headless chickens here.
Yeah, exactly. But like the national government at present, but never mind.
That comes to that point. Is Luxon on the highway to political oblivion?
I would say, unless they've got a miracle person. When Jacinda came in and she just was just sort of got the timing was right and they had, what was the name, Andrew? He's sort of the Ministry of Justice now, is he? He's the Mayor of Wellington now. And he wasn't he the leader?
He was for a while.
And then she came along
went through a bad patch of leaders. They were appalling, but then she turned up.
Close to the election and suddenly Labor won it.
But
I don't think the Nats have got anyone that... You've got
Nicola... Well, that's the trouble, isn't it? Luxon goes, who's going to replace
him? Well, you've got Nicola Willis, but she's got a dilemma because should she take kids to the movies for six times this holidays because she can afford it, of course, or should she help run the country, you know? So she's got dilemmas. I'm being facetious. But she might be popular amongst the Tories, but I don't think she's particularly popular amongst the peasant class.
Yeah.
You know.
The ones that care.
The ones that care.
Yeah. Her and her comments about the cost of living.
Yeah.
And the cinema
thing. And the movie things.
Yeah, that's them.
But she'll be pretty keen, she's pretty ambitious, I'd say. There'll be others, but they're not a John Key. Or something that has that no. had a bit of charisma with the peasantry.
Well,
I was a bit worried when like people say they'd rather have a leader who's charismatic rather than having any substance.
Yeah.
It's a very fine line.
Look
what happened in England with the number of leaders they went through.
Well, Boris
Johnson,
Boris. And the current incumbent in the White House. And
That's Jesus, or is it, what's his name? Oh, no,
he's the Antichrist, isn't he?
Yeah, we've got a name for him. Yeah.
The Orange Man.
Yeah. Mr. Tangerine Man, yeah. Oh, that's a song.
Yeah.
But that seemed to, as I say, people like that colour seem to vote
on that. I know, it's the biggest belief in that they don't deliver, they don't know hospitals and roads and all those infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's okay. He's entertaining, but he hasn't built any hospitals. Oh, that's all right.
Well, that's the trouble with name recognition. And let's face it, if Tucker Carlson or someone stood for president, they could well win it on name recognition.
No name, that's the problem.
Whereas someone who might be a good administrator, like
it's a sad indictment on human race, but that's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, Mick. Exactly. It's sort of like, we'll have an ex-TV star or an ex-rugby player.
Well, we've got a president who runs the country like he's on The Apprentice.
Yeah,
you're fired. Yeah.
And you find, that's why I still take my hat off, China's got its issues, etc. But you got to give President Xi, he got there by
merit.
His ability and merit.
And China being very careful to stay out of all this mess.
Exactly. And
they're not stupid.
And they're probably selling a few extra electric cars, I would say, doing quite well on the electric car industry.
Oh, yes.
But on the other side.
Yeah.
Because we need them now because gasoline prices have skyrocketed.
I go back to your point, Fred, about there is nobody so quite a credible coming through in behind Luxon.
Well, the bishop was, there was a photograph of him and Luxon on the paper yesterday.
Yeah, but
the bishop sort of hovering around in the background because he was a contender.
But why I say that, because they had a recent reshuffling of the cabinet or moving the deck chairs on the Titanic if you want to look at a better analogy. But the only person who was promoted into the cabinet was Penny Simmons.
Yeah.
Why? And she had been outed previously.
Yeah.
So that tells us there's not really anybody else in the rank and file of the National Parliamentary Party.
Yeah,
that's what it tells me.
Yeah, and of course, don't forget,
it's kind of reflective of all the political parties at the moment.
With
a few individual exceptions.
Yeah, I think there is.
Labour's not exactly shining bright at the moment.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
But I still rate Chris Hipkins. I think he's far more genuine than Luxon.
Oh, yeah. We know that, but we need somebody who has got vision, dynamic, possibly.
Yeah. I agree. He seems like a decent sort of person, but he also needs.
But isn't that the rub? We're sort of looking for someone who's got the charisma, but we also want them to have the vision and all
long-term
that.
Long-term vision.
Not a selfish vision, which is key.
Humanitarian vision.
That's why I still like Hipkins over Luxon.
It's okay to have a bit of a laugh and personality, not like Starmer, who's got the personality of a beer man. he's also got to have some sort of substance. It's got to be more than just a brand and photogenic. It's got to be someone who cares about the country.
Yeah. Well, and as I was saying before, you know, there's quite a lot of campaigns, and Craig reminded us of it before we came on, is there's a lot of campaigns to get people registered to vote. But my thing is, yes, that's really important. But really the campaigns should be, especially on the left, because we know what the Tories do, they all vote. But we need people to, we need people to want to vote. So part, if you How to get Benny back, and Mehdi and Rihari.
The cynicism and apathy is right at the moment.
So you've got to get people to want to vote. So they go up to the recruiting centre and knock on Cray and the community centre and say, excuse me, can you help me enrol to vote because I want to vote this year?
Well, I guess one...
That's what they need.
Yeah, I guess one step that we could make is get decent quality candidates.
That would...
The other part
because
of it.
Because the cynicism comes when they see these people put themselves forward, oh, they're more of the same. They're just... They're all... You need people who really do public service. They're not part of, oh, I can bring some votes and I'm brandable.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Which seems to be the current mark for, oh, you want to be a candidate? Can you pull the partners in?
What's your profile?
What's your profile? What's your brand?
Yeah.
That seems loyalty to the party seems to be more important than substance about...
Well, we saw that. Who's the Minister of War in the US? A TV jock.
A toy soldier.
And they've got an old skin salesman who's Ministry of, not Health.
Health, yeah, whatever they call it.
Kennedy,
yeah.
But, no,
but that's loyalty to the Emperor. It's sort of
yeah, Westbrook, yeah.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, people will put themselves forward for election, and they might be represent a party, but they also used to have some sort of local issue that they wanted to champion.
Yeah,
it could be anything. I know, free public toilets or public parking or something that embroils the community, if affects his immediate community.
Yeah, I'm passionate about it because I want to make a better society.
Yeah,
you know, hello, that's like tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there are but there's an awful lot doing it. Oh, I could do this.
But they're not marketable, so they don't get chosen.
They don't get chosen.
Well, look at the example you gave of the mayor of the recent election in the UK, the guy who wasn't nominated by the Labour Party.
Oh, Birmingham.
Yeah. Andy Berman. Was it Peter?
Andy Berman or whatever.
He was really
popular.
Yeah, but he wasn't endorsed by the party.
No, because he was doing a good job as mayor.
We talk about New Zealand's first choice of a candidate.
Yeah.
A former rugby player.
Yeah.
But, you know.
A failed one.
Sorry, did I say that? Well, it's a sport. It's only a sport. Yeah, there you go. How many years ago we lost? I'll give you a hug, Craig.
I'm not worried about the losing. I've just been sarcastic.
I began reading part of that article and I thought, oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah, but okay.
Okay, fair enough. He's put himself forward and
He's got name recognition.
Yes, brand.
So that's reality is, that's how it works. You know, how many ex...
So my first thought was, what about if he's put himself forward in a particular seat? I'm sure they've named a seat that he's going to go for.
He's just on their list.
Is he going to be a list MP?
Well, no. He'll be given an electorate to campaign in, but they will put him so much on the list. So because of his high profile, he'll be up quite high.
I just hope his potential constituents are happy if he gets through.
I think he's
he's pretty a pleasant sort of bloke.
Yeah.
Never been a fan.
He spoke very well. Give him his credit. I'm not a great New Zealand First fan in lots of ways, but he spoke very well when they interviewed him, just outside Parliament.
What about the subject of migration and racism?
But
it gets back to the quality of candidates, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It comes down to that.
To try and get people to get off their chuffs and vote. To want them, to make them want them to vote.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Because they all too often, I guess I'm repeating myself, all too often see the people just the same, exactly the same regardless of the colour of their livery.
Well, look, if your life's good and you're living in a big house, you're not in a beach house, and you've got a membership to country club, you'll vote, etc. Because you realise that the status quo is I'm in that and I'm comfortably off.
And I want to keep it.
And I want to keep that for me and my grandchildren. Not everyone else. I don't care about the poor people's grandchildren, but my grandchildren, as long as they're okay. Whereas to say, unfortunately, the poor have been shafted so many times that, and even if they're not shafted, the changes are so slow, of course. So you're asking someone to say, well, actually, you need to vote for us, and eventually there'll be more hospitals and jobs and a higher benefit system and welfare and a fairer country.
But if from day one they can't afford to put food on the table.
No,
or
and that could take...
It could take ages.
Take 20 years. Take a generation to change that.
And
we're into instant gratification.
And unfortunately, New Zealand's following this worldwide trend of voter apathy.
Yeah, that's it.
And we've got in my opinion, we've got a relatively good voting system because at least it's proportional voting. So if you're poor, your vote does count.
As opposed to first past post,
helping the people to make that connection.
And there are groups like there's lots of groups.
We've got to talk about this because Craig's got a badge on his thing there saying that he's enrolled to vote for 2026.
Yeah, it's
part of a campaign to encourage people to.
The byline for this badge is in the wording at the top. It's about I care about Te Tiriti Waitangi, so I vote. So, but it's not just that. I care about clean water. Mm-hmm. I care about whānau. I care about teachers. I care about fairer taxes. I care about.
Gosh, you sound so woke.
Yeah, that is. I care about.
That's what the cynics will say. Oh, he's just being woke.
Yeah, I know.
Well, if woke means you have empathy, then so be it.
So be it.
But these idiots seem to be in. They seem to be a minority, but they seem to have enormous sway on public opinion.
Well, we got that from, as I say, we go back to Paul Blair's, one of his releases.
Paul Barlow.
One of his more recent ones, he talks about the low voter turnout and the ability of these people who hold particular views, conspiracy theory, whatever it is, getting in because of the low voter turnout. And I suspect you've always been a good one about this, Fred. National Party always vote, and if there's a low voter turnout.
Well, my mum's 97. I've always offered, but I don't get the opportunity. But someone always takes my mother down to the voting, to the voting pool.
School, right?
And guess what side they vote for? You know, one day they might be allowed. You know,
but then it's a democracy. So she's allowed to vote who she wants.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean.
Yeah,
but,
it's important, and they do make that effort, I suppose. But they can also afford the petrol. You know, someone can pick them up, and you know, they make the effort to keep the status quo. And I think they do actually have voting. You can go in the care homes. You can vote anyway in them. I think they go in and have.
Yeah, I think the city council. I think just before the local elections last year, I was there when I was visiting one of my clients, and a person from the council turned up, and they wanted him to. He was checking the details for this guy to help him vote. And I asked him, oh, are you paid to do this? And he said, no, I'm a volunteer, but it's in conjunction with the city council. That was to do with the local election. So it can be done.
The volunteer will have no vested interest.
It can be a scrutineer. I've been a scrutineer for several elections.
Well, you made a suggestion that perhaps when clients go in there, if they haven't registered.
It should be compulsory. I'm a real fan of compulsory voting, like Australia. I just think, and I think it from a different perspective. If it was compulsory voting, even the Tories would probably treat the poor better.
Yeah, that's what.
Ironically, they'd go, hang on a minute. Now, Benny down there, instead
he's
of just ignoring
vote.
Them,
he's going to vote. I better
make sure he's got a sausage and something in his kit.
Because the Labour's guilty of it. They're trying to attract the same pool of swing voters.
Yeah.
So they compromise before they even start.
Yeah.
So because they're trying to pull those ones that last time saw the light over to their way of thinking. But
I was saying, what's our voting's only about 70%, but then there's another group of people who aren't even registered. That's another 10% of people who could vote. We don't, we can't crow about, and we've got a good, relatively good proportional system. We've also got a huge amount of people who don't vote.
Instead of focusing on the middle ground, is what Labour are doing, they should be more saying, well, we should be be part of a kind of a campaign to incentivise people.
Make them
want to vote.
Because the party's set up and take notice of them.
If
the people, these people are actually interested, they come to our area and they've spoken to us.
And
that's another way of trying to draw them in.
If
their engagement. Instead of just focusing on the central part, they should be looking at the other areas.
You imagine if you a party, and it'll get criticism. But Muldoon was on the right. The beneficiaries all got a week's for one or two Christmases. They all got an extra week's pension.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy, local economies in all the towns went huge. Because you're poor, you've got to spend it. You don't get the luxury of, shall I go to Fiji or shall I go buy some more shares. It can be done. And I still would, a party should, and they might get hammered, they might lose some votes from the sensitive middle.
But if you
increase the voter turnout, it's got to be a good thing.
Well, one would...
Make your politicians more honest.
Who advises these politicians, though?
Let me guess. They're probably not poor people.
They've got vested interests.
Possibly. Is it a beach batch or two? Possibly. A member of the country club,
Some lobby, a tip tobacco, possibly alcohol, elements.
Shall we go on?
They need to, especially Labour, they need to engage with those people who are not invoked or not participating.
Yeah.
And the only way we can do it is to raise their profile in those areas.
And incentivise to vote.
Yeah, and say, look, we're coming to this area because we realised it's severely depressed, you haven't got schools or a substep. Make what locals realise, they do care about it. They found the time to come down and hear about our problems. It's basic politics 101.
And I go back, if you said, right, you vote for us, if we get voted in or can become the government, you're going to get $500 in 2 months' time or a week, whatever. And people say, well, that's bribery and corruption and all that.
Tories
do it with the landlord, tax
cut. They did it megabucks.
And that's okay, but it's not all right to offer the poor something to help them out.
Labour really needs to wake up.
Yeah,
I'm a bit disappointed at the moment. There's certain individuals. Yes, they might be decent human beings, but they're not putting themselves in a position where they can actually do something about turning this whole thing around.
And even the way to would be for me thinking just politically would be okay if Labor wants to keep that centrist ground to get those central voters, then you another party, maybe the Greens or Party Māori, that's their policy. We're going to give $1,000 at Christmas time.
Anything
if they can become the government, they can go in coalition talks, etc. And okay, to sort it out, you might say, well, it's not $1,000, but it's going to be $500. And that's how you probably can keep the middle voter a little bit happier,
Spend the money a bit, trying to turn things around, get more voter participation.
That's the problem,
And we've got a perfect, it's not perfect, but we've got a better system under MMP than we do other places like First Past the Post in the UK and...
America
and Europe's got proportional representation in it, but
and even Australia. I was always crowing about Australia's voting system, but I've got a bit disillusioned by it.
First past the post,
it's not as free and
It's a mixture over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's all over the place.
Part free first pass and part STV and.
But I told you in the South Australian elections or something, the Greens got 10 or 12% of the vote, and they got. They got one MP or no seat. Our proportional thing. And even if you don't like the party, even if you've got I stand for, Harry Bottom's party, etc. If they get 6% of the vote and they get a member of parliament, isn't that democracy?
Yeah,
democracy in action.
Some critics say, if you have proportional representation, it means that the loony left or lunatics will get in. So, well, yes. Well, aren't you worried about it? Well, no.
Yeah.
Why? Because there will be a small fraction of the final result, and for them to be able to do anything, they're going to have to negotiate with other political parties, and other political parties will just say no. It's democracy represented in Parliament. The lunatics can't do anything.
No. And I say, if they get enough votes, so be it. That's democracy. Yeah. You know, how many crazies have there been in the major parties who've turned out to be, you know, we've got a madman as the leader of the world at present, you know. Yeah,
apparently.
It's just scary, yes. I just think if you really believe in democracy, that's the price you pay. Warts and all. Mm. Yeah, good point.
It needs to be representative.
Well,
But it gets back to a point. It needs full voter participation.
Yeah, because at present, look at our council elections and even our major ones.
What was
ones.
The council election? It was
just 26% or something, was it?
Yeah.
Was it 30%?
Just over 30%, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it didn't even make the
31
or 2 or something.
Yeah, and that's, if you consider how many are also not registered, it's probably 25%.
The demographics, not demographics, but... the voting patterns in certain areas where it was the voter turnout was lower than, say, other areas.
Yeah, higher turnout areas.
Was there any correlation between well off and not well off?
Well, there was a couple of articles. I think I talked about it. There was a couple of two or three boroughs areas. Or councils who had stable populations, relatively high
education,
all that, and they bucked the trend and went up.
Yeah. Whereas in other areas it was down.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Apart from the little area in Papatoetoe where they had a slight issue with
which has been
rectified.
But it seems to be a correlation between poverty and voter apathy.
And not seeing anything
from it. You know?
Yeah.
But so this is my lot.
They're not invested because no one's bothered to engage with them.
No.
Yeah, you don't get the door knocking or stuff in those areas.
Well, they don't get the understanding, and it goes back. I know I'll harp on about it, but a lot of people you can put a voting form or even your badge, Craig.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't understand that.
Not in that. Yeah,
they wouldn't comprehend. They say that our comprehension of statements and reading is very poor. You know, amongst those that actually need to vote. You know,
it seems to be the same numbers, the same people seem to crop up for all the wrong reasons.
It's not necessarily because they're poor, they might be migrants, etc. And just the understanding, you know, you can
understand the voting system.
Yeah, we all speak English, but sometimes you read an article and we can't, it's hard to comprehend what they're trying to say.
I still think the same group pops up,
for
different reasons all through the whole system.
Unfortunately,
there's quite more complex than just. Enrolling.
I still think Aussie, they're allowed to give out sausages, you know, barbecue sausages on election day and all that. You know, all that should be considered, you know. But they'd call it, that's bribery. But I say,
it's incentivising people to vote.
Yeah. But, hey, all the parties do it. The Nats offer tax deductions
and
that's okay. But it's not okay to offer anything to the peasants, you know?
No, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so watch this space.
Otherwise, they'll get uppity. Mm.
Yeah, but okay, and the polling is quite interesting. I'll drift into something else. Is that all right?
Do that.
The polling's quite interesting, but New Zealand First has jumped quite considerably in the polls, et cetera. Which is interesting, and the Nats aren't doing very well, hence the talks about is there going to be a coup on Luxon.
They're going to have to make up their minds up soon.
Yeah, they can't leave it too late or it just gets too hard, you've
got to repackage a new brand.
Well, the trouble is you get a photo of someone on a billboard and then you've got to plaster that over and put a new sticky
that's
on.
Right, that comes out of legitimate party expenses.
Oh, of course.
Taxpayers.
Yeah, it's the taxpayers.
We pay for it. So don't worry about it. It's all been covered, eh?
A lot of the tours you wouldn't really need a face. It's the same. They're just going to sell the same thing,
Because they've employed, the Nats have employed Rachel Smalley to be his...
Enhances public relations.
He's PR person.
Yes.
He really needs PR person.
Yeah. He needs something.
Yeah. But going on...
The danger is that the replacements are just as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I say, the Tories are let's face it, it's theirs to lose because, the way they're going, they'll still get you know, they'll still get the votes.
There's not a time for complacency on other parties.
No, just because they're not doing very well in the polls.
Don't take it for granted.
No, no, yes.
Labour got caught out one time when it was they were predicted a landslide. What happened? Oh, they're going to win. I don't need to vote.
Yeah.
And the opposite happened.
Yeah.
You need to vote. Yeah. Doesn't matter what the situation is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the polls.
But what I believe is also happening, and there's starting to get quite a few articles on that, this free trade agreement with India hasn't gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And
no.
this is behind the rise in New Zealand First. Jumping because it's hurting the Nats. I know several Nats, and they're all.
What are they worried about?
They're concerned. They're concerned about basically migration, immigration
numbers.
Yeah, the numbers is this thing with the free trade. Where does it lead to? Mm. What does it mean? It's all, and so they're concerned that.
Well, given this current government, I can see if those numbers come in, guess who's going to lose out?
Well,
people we were talking about before. They're going to get pushed out because house prices are skyrocketing. Oh. These are people who come in, they've got money.
Of course they have. And or have got the ability to get enough money, collectively or whatever.
Yeah, or got the skill, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I don't begrudge them that, but it comes at the cost. And it's the ones at the bottom, they get pushed back even more.
Well, and they know that because if you go back, so that's why they're saying that New Zealand First is taking a lift because this is hurting the Nats. Labor's decided that they still want more clarification, so they haven't supported it at all yet. And I think personally, this is me, you go back nearly 200 years ago, the locals living in Aotearoa, New Zealand, were busy. There was a new people wanting to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, okay, they had a discussion over the Treaty of Waitangi. And this could be as big, because if this free trade agreement means that we're going to have more people, etc., do we want that? Why can't we have a discussion about what's New Zealand's vision? Because if you look at the Treaty of Waitangi, now there's been some compensation and apologies and all that, begrudgingly by a lot, but okay, I've given it. But at the time, Māori were sold, you sign this and this will be great. We'll sort out your land issues and we'll control the population.
Just alone what they meant by sorting out land issues.
Yeah, in retrospect.
Yeah.
So, and I have the same thing. If you're going to, and not just me, obviously, this is affecting people who are thinking, okay, so what does all this mean?
And how's New Zealand going to prepare for this sudden influx of more people?
That's the infrastructure argument.
And shouldn't we be allowed to discuss it and go, hang on a minute, what's our goal for population in 20 years' time?
Can we meet the requirements of the demand?
And also, how do we want our culture to be and all that? Because I say, look, Māori were sold this pup. Basically, and let's face it, now things, it has got better. Early 1900s, etc., life was awful for Māori.
Yeah, they were.
And before, there was death, disease. Yeah.
Their feather become extinct, an extinct population, and all stuff like that.
I think we need to have discussion, and it needs to be, okay, what do we want?
And where are these people going to go?
And what is the effect on... And when I say Indigenous New Zealand...
On the environment, society...
And so on.
Culture.
Et cetera.
Values, all
the whole shebang.
Because I consider, let's face it, we talk about Indigenous, but basically if you're talking about another people wanting to come in or been able to come in, we're all Indigenous that are already here.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
We're not the first arrivals, but we've lived here long enough. We should be able to have that discussion.
Yes.
And if they have to put that free trade agreement off till we've had that discussion, and when discussion, let that come through on the elections.
Maybe it should be an election.
Well, New Zealand First is going to make an election issue, I'm sure. And I'm not promoting New Zealand First, but I'm just saying they're getting traction on it.
I agree with them to make this an election issue. It should be discussed.
But
New Zealand First has that angle of making a racist...
I know what you mean, but the subject should be...
Yeah, on the
front
wider...
...front and centre as a political issue. This is going to affect all of us.
Yeah.
The impact...
they're forced... Oh, well, there's rules in place about migration. You get enough people here,
They can change the rule.
Yeah. What happened in, with the treaty? No, we're going to look after you. You know, honey, you'll be right. Your land will be right. Now you can keep your religion. You can keep your culture.
Once the numbers game that we won, we changed the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it's a big. It should be a big discussion. And it's not. I'm not blaming the individual Indian who comes here.
No.
But
we're talking about
if you bring enough people of another culture, it will change the culture that's here. Which we, our European ancestors might have kept some of their cultures in and we're very fortunate they were so together, so they did keep some cultural aspects, etc. But what would we, you know?
Yeah.
I still wonder about the numbers. I mean, how many, what sort of numbers are they talking about? Is it just going to be open door?
Well, no, it's not going to be open door. They're saying, well, it'll be tied to skills and it'll be tied to education and all that.
Present at the moment.
But
they can manipulate those.
Exactly. Yeah, and how does that help Honey and Mary who haven't got the skills?
Well, Mr. Keyes, he changed the demographics by allowing lots of people coming in.
Yeah, you know, so, and it changed
land
values.
And again, the same people we were talking about earlier, where are they going to go? And where are these new people going to go?
Yeah.
And who misses out?
Yeah, that's the issue.
And what happens to all the land? You're going to have to build more houses and roads and.
Well, if they set a free trade agreement, right, we'll house everyone in New Zealand. That's part of the condition of a free trade agreement, of more migrants. Let's get it, be real about it. So people are secure, et cetera. Because if we saw what happened with the treaty.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of Māori would be very nervous
about
it.
But you said there's controls on depending on skills and education, but. What about the numbers, though?
You've made that comment before, Fred, about the 1% of the Indian population equals
15 million people.
Yeah. So
you've got to have some controls on the numbers coming in.
Yeah.
Especially if we're not prepared for the sudden influx of people wanting to use the bathroom or go to school or hospital. Yeah.
And do we want to go back to the stick in the field thing? No, we need to be. Organised for it.
Need to have that discussions again. Yeah.
But we need to have discussion. Okay, where does New Zealand see its population?
I think the people who are promoting this have got something to gain.
Yeah, they got this to gain.
Yeah.
Cash.
It was quite interesting. I
could be wrong.
Well, we could be wrong.
Possibly
I could be wrong.
Possibly. Remotely you could be wrong.
Here's another one. This is Fran
O'Sullivan. Rogue's Gallery,
Fran O'Sullivan.
She's still around.
I thought she'd put it to pasture.
Yeah, right. But she's done, she's promoting herself. 40 years experience in covering market, politics, foreign affairs and trade. But basically, in her headline is, time for some FTA pride swallowing. And she's sort of saying, go for it. Yeah, because she's not at threat. Initially,
it gets back to the numbers. Are they all going to end up in the North Island? Because everyone seems to move to Auckland.
Yeah, or to Hamilton or Tauranga.
Half the New Zealand's population is above halfway up the North Island.
It's
getting quite close, mate. Yes. Yeah.
There was a political program on television a number of years ago, and I forget the host of it, but he was originally from England, and there was one particular episode on the panel were Fran O'Sullivan, and there was part of that setup at that particular episode was Winston Peters,
right,
and he ripped the shit out of Fran O'Sullivan at the time,
right.
So I suspect if he saw that. Be round number two.
I just think we're entitled as Indigenous people of this country.
Public discussion.
And I think the elections are close. Let that become. Let the parties bring this out to the public. Yep.
This has been mooted.
Yeah.
They think that. Yeah. What do the public think?
Yeah. I'm just using our historical trade agreement. Yeah.
But we've also harped on before on this show, and the current government have also identified our infrastructure.
Yeah, of course.
So what does it, in terms of a greater migration in terms of infrastructure?
Well,
nothing I've heard about any improved infrastructure.
No, we've only heard about this, money.
Money.
And how are you going to turn that?
I just think they're trying to change the demographics so they can get Because most of those people that we're talking about will probably be conservative in their political views.
What do we know about how their voting patterns and everything else?
They're more likely to go along with even conservative parties over here.
So I go back to the Treaty of Waitangi. In one way, it was a free trade agreement. And inside that free trade agreement says, we'll do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a few of us coming.
Unfortunately, one party negotiated in good faith and the other didn't.
I just pulled this out. And Craig will know it probably from his history studies, is in the Port Nicholson, which is down Wellington, 1840s, Te Puni Koko, he was the Te Awa chief
at
the time, Rangatira at the time. And it's sort of a famous sort of quote, and it's, Te Puni was moved to tears by the relentless procession of ships, realising the profound impact this would have on his people, their lands, and traditional way of life.
And by then it was too late.
That's why we need to have this discussion.
Yes.
And I'm all for the Labour holding off and not signing.
But it needs to be properly controlled, not just on basis of skills or money. It's got to.
What do we want? Where do we see our country being?
All these people, immigrants are going to go down to the South Island, which is predominantly lower population.
And white.
Perhaps they'll probably potentially go to Queenstown. I think like Fred, we're the descendants of people who came to this country from England, or Scotland, or wherever.
Yeah, I would consider you two indigenous.
I'm
the immigrant.
You're indigenous with us.
I'm an honorary Kiwi. Apparently.
You're a tongue of the treaty, as they would say.
Our forebearers. Talk about the Woolses, for example. Yeah. My Woolses forebearers. There was only one. There was a husband and wife that came. No other extended whānau. They established their family whānau here. I'm thinking in terms of this current model, maybe when we bring one lot over, then there might be all the other members of the whānau come over as well.
Cool.
That's the fear.
That problem exists now. You've got people who've been given New Zealand citizenship and then they applied for their parents,
which is a human thing.
Which is understandable.
Of course it is.
But it's a numbers game.
However, my Wills
and is... And are they going to be housed at the expense of Benny and Mary, who happen to be poor and living in a flat in Frankfurt?
Yes.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
So go back to...
They'll be priced out.
Going back, because 19th century is a different time frame, so... My Wills' forebearers came out, but they had family over in England still.
Yeah.
Did the rest of them come out? No. I had my great-great-great-grandfather had a brother and sister who went to the United States.
Yeah.
Mm. Others remained in England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't bring out the whole kit and caboodle.
But go back to...
But certain do have extended families, which is really important to them culturally.
Yeah, well,
they want to bring them out as well. But it's a numbers game.
Go back, the real crunch is India's got 1.5 billion people.
Potentially 15 million people heading this way.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Well, yeah. So we need to have a debate. We need to try and keep the racism out.
Which is inflating the New Zealand first.
I'm not going to go along with that. I do go along with the fact that it should be up for public discussion.
I think it's time. If the Nats and the government want to do it, Labour and the Greens and Te Pāti Māori should be going, you want to do this. What's in it for Johnny and Mary who live in Frankton in a flat?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
We want $1,000 for them at Christmas time, and we want a house, make sure they've got a house, and there's three new hospitals in New Zealand.
And a possibility for job employment
for the older son.
Yeah. Extract something out of it.
And what they can afford is something, but it's substandard.
If you're having an agreement, and it can be broken, as we saw with the treaty.
Big time.
Agreements can be torn up.
And we should learn from that. We know how the treaty was exploited, so this thing has to be very tight.
I think the proponents of this don't really give a damn.
Of course not. They're the landholders. They've got spare land.
They're
happy days.
And they can leave the country.
And they can leave the country as well.
Leave the country. And they're the last affected. You know, the higher you are in a society.
We made a bit of a mess of it. It's getting a bit crowded and dirty. I'll go to my other house in Fiji? Hawaii or.
Yeah, wherever. Yeah, or gated communities type.
It gets back to, this should be up for public debate.
Yeah, public discussion.
It should be discussed between the candidates when they're.
The parties
and when they're addressing the public.
Yeah,
it should be a public issue.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Nuts and bolts. This is what we're going to do, and it's going to blah, blah, blah. Mm. Whatever.
And haven't we got, at least with the treaty, inside now, Māori do get a benefit system, and we do get social, you know, we have social welfare so far and pensions and all that. If another people come in and they come from a culture where that doesn't happen, will they get that if they get to dominate in numbers?
Let's
think about it.
They could undermine the social system.
Well, go back to this. How will the Hinnis people, the lands, and traditional way of life? It can alter.
Yes,
very much so.
Yeah.
Well, just as we did it to Māori, our ancestors. Fortunately, that treaty eventually kicked in, but not initially, not till the land was gone, all the good land was gone.
And if the situation changes in enough numbers, that could be undermined.
So I think this should be an election issue. I don't think there should be signing or anything else. I think Labor's doing the right thing, and they should hold it off, and so should New Zealand First and Party Māori and the Greens say, no, we need a discussion through the general election on this.
Yes,
that's my debate. That's my point.
Yeah. I approach from the infrastructure stuff. Because that's a major player.
And society. It's all those factors.
And
as Fred just pointed out, if you get enough people of a certain persuasion come in, they could change the ball, they could move the goalposts. Social security net could be undermined or removed.
That was a fear in Sweden, wasn't it? There was a mass migration into the country.
Okay. The racism thing, but in the end of the day, if you are here, you live in your house. You have the right to who you let in.
Yes.
So you need to be able to discuss it with your family or whatever, and say, all right, if we let Benny come to stay with us, because Benny wants to come to stay, and he's going to bring some skills and all this is great. But okay, what do we get, and what's the long term repercussions?
Obviously,
the Palestinians probably had that discussion. And what happened to them?
And what happens if Benny's situation changes and he gets married or? Extended family.
Yeah, and there's 10 kids in the house and suddenly we're in the outhouse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, those sorts of things. Yeah.
And it's hard to keep...
But definitely got to keep the racist finger. It should be just about numbers.
It's a numbers game.
And just, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Are we okay with that?
All these people come in, blah, blah, blah.
And see, the thing about...
But don't make it a racist issue because it's just...
But we should be making it an issue about... there's nothing to discuss about culture, like, okay, beliefs, religion... taxation beliefs, do you understand taxation and all that? And it hasn't got a good reputation about paying tax. All that. So have we got enough? Are we strong enough to have our systems in place to keep what we value? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, agree with you.
And it's almost a certain class of person who's going to come over. It's not going to be the lower class Indian.
Oh, no, they'd love to come.
Yeah, they'd love to come.
But the ones who've got skills, educated, potential to make money.
Yeah. It's not like the 19th century and our forebears.
So then they are going to... In one way, if you bring someone who's got no skills, then you can help them and all this. Someone comes in and they've already got enough money to buy a house and push someone else out and got a job. That might be bringing skills, but they're also hurting the person that's lower down in this country.
Trying to choose the numbers, you're going to go for the one, he's educated, he's got money, he can buy a property, he can come in. This other one, we'd like to, but...
Well, look at all the wealthy people we're trying to encourage here. That's the only one person, but they have wealth, and we say, let's bend over for them, let's...
I put
my Vaseline, it's just...
Because people who came in the 19th century had skills to come over.
And they were in demand.
On my mother's side, there were two brothers, and they came over. One actually died of typhoid before they hit the shores, but he had the skill of being a builder, so that was a lost skill.
Yeah.
But he had his younger brother, who I think was probably even, who wouldn't have been 20, got in.
Right.
But before that, in that same family, some of them had lived in the poorhouse.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, so let's face it. It goes back. Yeah. It's also opportunity.
Yeah,
this is an empty land.
Yeah, well, in those days it was, yeah.
And it's still considered. Yeah, let's face it. You've got 1.5 billion people. New Zealand is an empty land. Australia is an empty land in comparison.
Russia is an empty land.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, those sorts of places. So why aren't you going there?
I'm not worried. We need to.
I'm not so worried about where these people come from. It's what baggage they might bring with them.
Good point. Yeah. That sums it up.
And we all bring baggage.
Well, they bring in a thing. I don't like Muslims. I don't like ultra conservative types.
Yeah.
So, and that can happen from any cult. You bring in lots of self-arrogance. Can they leave their race?
It's the one thing about
racist sort of thing behind at the door.
The one odd thing about racism is it's not racially biased.
It's across the board.
Across the board.
Mm-hmm. And prejudices and all that stuff.
Park it up.
And that's what go back to the free trade agreements, etc. Have we got enough strength in that someone comes in, they're actually sat down in an office with a civil servant and told how it works?
Is it any time has this free trade agreement ever come up before a select committee or some parliamentary review? Or
I think there's supposed to be those discussions, isn't there? Yeah. They have to be discussed, a free trade agreement.
It was meant to be going over to
it hasn't been discussed in Parliament.
Yeah, it is. It's been discussed. Yeah.
And it's been agreed upon.
No, it hasn't.
No, because New Zealand First
sticking point. And Labor's saying we want to know a bit more about this and that.
Yeah, okay.
But they're meant to be going. It's close.
Luxon's all ready to go and sign the paper.
Well, Maclay, I think, is meant to be going Anzac weekend.
That fall. Yeah.
So what happened to public debate? It's gone.
Well, I say, and we've got a perfect year this year. We could say to the Indian government, go, look, yeah, we're still keen, but we actually need to put this to the people of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because it's big.
It's big.
And we've got a general election, so it can...
And it's just coincidence that the very people who could do that won't because they've got vested interests.
Well, they all own the spare land. They've got land banking. They've got spare houses. They will benefit out of more people.
They're getting the calculators out, I think.
Of course,
Yeah.
Well, look at the last boom was massive migration. Who benefit really out of that? Not Benny and Mary who suddenly got kicked out of the house six times in a year.
Landowners and property owners.
Yeah.
And
that's spare wealth.
You think of your 19th century example, the New Zealand Company.
Mm. Exactly. So that's why I harp back to the treaty. That was a free trade agreement that didn't work very well initially for the indigenous people.
Yeah.
So basically, national and supported act have bypassed them.
Well, not yet. They're trying to. Yeah.
They
need New Zealand First, and New Zealand First is...
Well, on this occasion...
Good on them, yeah.
Good. Yeah, but I don't like their opposition around the racist stuff.
No, I agree. I don't agree with that. Yeah. I do agree with the fact that they've...
I want legitimate reasons why you oppose it.
Yeah.
What about infrastructure? What about the effect on us socially, culturally, whatever?
Certainly needs... It's certainly a big issue. Because I say the polls are starting to be knocked around a bit, and I say I've talked to, National Party voters who are generally basically good people, but they're all worried about it.
Yeah. Well, this is now time for National to make it a public debate.
Mm. Yeah. Indeed.
Show that they're worthy of our trust.
Do you trust a Tory?
Well,
I to be honest, I don't trust any politician.
To be honest. Yeah.
Well, it's the influences over them, what's happening and all that, and who's to benefit. I think people like Fiona Sutherland, I'd like to see when people write articles on anything that's contentious or whatever, I have a home and I have a beach house and I have a lake house and I have three memberships in the country club. You need to say where they stand on life, where their position is in life. It's like the MPs are meant to do.
That might affect their judgment.
It affects our judgment.
It kind of blinds it, doesn't it?
It affects everyone. How you live does affect
your judgment.
How you see the world.
Yeah.
So, but if these guys have more sway because they can... They write stuff or they're on TV. So we want to know when they're having a go at the Indians or whatever, they go, okay, why or why are you supporting it? I've got 5 acres on the outskirts of a city that stands to go up in value. You need to know that sort of stuff.
It should be a political issue at the election.
It has to be, Mick. The free trade agreement with India.
Yeah. And I think
this smacks as something real suspicious.
Yeah, and that's sort of trying to downplay it. So, oh, it's only about education. It's only about skills.
Oh, I've heard that nonsense before.
I think the Māori heard that in Treaty of Waitangi. It didn't go very well for them in the end.
At least it didn't come out, oh, we've taken political advice.
Yeah.
Well, Māori did take political advice from the missionaries.
Yes, they did.
Who was that an interest in land?
That brings
us to a close on that note here. Okay. Yeah. A serious discussion of a free trade agreement. Yeah. You can catch us on www.freefm.org.nz or just look at the podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.